First Chronicles chapter number 29. First Chronicles chapter 29. I was perfectly willing to give up some preaching time this evening to be able to show this video. And this will be the last time that I will certainly be with you. I would be remiss if I failed to thank everyone for everything this week. You've just been a real blessing, and it's been refreshing, and it's been an encouragement to me. I know you didn't ask, but if you were to ask, Brother Ron, do you have a need? Yes, I do have one need. I need for you to pray for me. That's what I need. I don't need anything else. But if you would pray for me, when the Lord lays me on your heart, if you would pray for me, I would appreciate it. If you wanted to pray for me every day, I'd really appreciate that. But I understand you got a lot of other people that you want to pray for, and you've only known me for a short time, so I'm not going to ask you to do that, but I am going to ask you from time to time to do it. I had the church that I pastored in West Virginia. I didn't know this, but I had a guy named Lou. Lou passed away about 2 years ago. I pastored Lou for only 3 years, and I went with Help Ministries. And every now and then, I would go back to the church. I used to try to get in there once a year. It's my home church. And try to get in there once every year. Lou died, and his wife, Corliss, I saw her one day at the church. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, Lou had a box, and in this box, it was a private thing to him. I never looked in the box until he died, but inside the box were people, were some of his most important things. And then there was three pictures with people's names on there. And he told me, right before he died, he said, the people that are inside that box, he said, I prayed for those people every day. And I was one of those three people. And I thought, my, what a blessing. What a blessing. There's a lady at our church. Her name's Belle Sandifer. She's going to go home and be with the Lord shortly. She can't go to church now. She hasn't been able to go for a number of times. She told me years and years and years ago, she said, I'm going to pray for you every day. And I know that she has. And the reason why that's so important is because most every day there are decisions that are too difficult for me to make. The Ministry of Help Ministries, working in 70 countries with 600 men, over 1,000 churches, and all the problems and all the things that happen. And somebody says this, and one guy says this, and you got to try to, you know, one preacher thinks this, and another preacher thinks that, and trying to please everyone. And I found out a long time ago, I can't please all those people, Brother Fear, now. So the only thing I'm going to have to do is try to make sure that I please the Lord and do what He would want me to do. So I don't make the decisions. I let the Lord make those decisions, but would you pray that God would give us wisdom and strength to do the ministry? Well, 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold. Let's look now in verse number 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Look with me in verse number 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Verse number 9, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore, I'm in verse 10 now, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And I want to preach to you tonight briefly, and of thine own have we given thee. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to have come to this church and be involved in their missions conference this week. And Lord, I'm thankful that you worked it out. And so, Father, we ask you now that we might do justice to this text, that we might do justice to the thoughts that are within the confines of it. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the good report we heard about the faith promise pledges for the upcoming year and what was done in the last year. Lord, we pray that you would be with the Fearnows as they leave, that you'd be with Brother Ridgeway as he heads and begins his ministry for the summer, and then the folks that will remain here to do the work in this place. We'd ask that you be with them, and then be with me as I travel back home tomorrow. And God, may you work once again in our hearts, and we'd ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. And of thine own we have given thee. David knows the kingdom's being turned over to his son. David had a great desire to build the temple, but God told David that he wasn't going to allow him to build the temple, that his son Solomon was going to build the temple. But David was not going to be able to do it. It's interesting, sometimes when folks can't be the in charge of the thing and they can't do it, well, that's okay. Well, I wish him the best. But David didn't have that mindset. David was motivated by a couple of reasons. Number one, we see it in verse number one. He said, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. So he realized that his son was young, inexperienced, had a lot to learn, and it was a big job. And so what did he want to do? He wanted to set him up for success. He wanted to set the next generation up for success, and he wanted to leave it in good hands. And also he was motivated by the fact, he said, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. So two motivations we see in this verse. Number one, he wanted to be a blessing to his son. And number two, he realized that this thing was not for man. This thing that was going to be done was for God. And so David prepared, he said in verse number two, I have prepared with all my might. Now that's strong. You know what that means? David said, I have done everything that I can do to prepare for this thing that's about to take place. He could die knowing that the future generations would have a beautiful house of prayer and praise where they could honor the Lord. David not only served his own generation, but he served generations to come. He provided the materials to build the temple. He organized the temple ministry. He wrote the songs for the temple singers, and he even designed musical instruments for the Levites to play. And all the while, God told him, David, you can't build it, but he did everything that he could do to make it a success. And long after David was dead and gone, they would come and meet in that temple. They would worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would sing those songs and play those instruments, and David would be with the Lord, but still having a voice and speaking, because he did something that would live and last beyond him. And when you give to missions, it lasts beyond you. It lasts beyond you. I was thinking when you guys were talking earlier about your goal, and you set this goal and you didn't meet it. You know, if you meet every goal that you set, I would say you probably aren't setting your goals very high. Matter of fact, don't set any goals and you'll be sure to meet it. But if you are in faith taking steps, there's going to be some times where you set out to do some things that you think you can do in the Lord's strength, and it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to. But you do the best you can, and you go after it. And so I'm so thankful that you went after it. He invested in something that would live beyond him. He said, I've set my affection, verse number 3. He said, I have set my affection to the house of my God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And we could preach a message on this, but you know these verses, you know these texts, and so I just want to note that it's there, and we want to move on for sake of time. I do want to draw this conclusion just from this one point. Those whose affections are set upon the service of God will think no pains nor cost too much to bestow upon it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now I want to look at the giving, at the succession of giving. Now I skipped over some verses to save some time this evening, but and the verses that we skipped over, it just tallies up what was given. And we wouldn't really understand it anyway. It's not in our currency, it's not in our time. But look in verse 3. David said, moreover, I have set my affection to the house of God. I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And then he lists in verses 4 and verses 5 what it is that he gave, how much it's recorded, how much was given. In verse number 6, so David gave. Then what happened? Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. So David gave, and then the leaders gave. The leaders gave. And it's interesting. You know why they gave? They offered willingly. Now David could have, or the king could have said, no, you're going to do this. No. That wasn't the motivation to give. Why did they give? They gave because they wanted to give. Now, David set the standard, and he come out and he gave. The king gave, and I'm telling you what, we serve a king who has given something for us and set the example for us, and we should follow in his footsteps and follow suit and like the leaders in David's day. So the leaders gave. That would be like the pastors and deacons. Imagine the missionaries. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a missionary that would come in here and preach, and he himself doesn't give the missions. Imagine now, I mean, would you want to hear what he had to say? He would be a hypocrite if he would come and he lived of the gospel, and yet he himself wouldn't give to missions. My. As a pastor, imagine a pastor that wouldn't give, or a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher who stands before people and teaches from the Word of God. Hey, we ought to do these things. We ought to give. But not only did the king give, and the people gave, or the leaders gave. Look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because that with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Now, what kind of giver does God love? A cheerful giver. And here we have an example of someone that gave, and they were so glad and excited that they could give. Now, the sum that they gave is incredible. Incredible. I tried to figure out how much it would be in today's currency, and depending on who you read after, as to what you would get. Okay? But David, many believe David gave personally in gold $82 million and $12 million in today's currency worth of silver. That's what the king, that's what David gave. And the leaders gave, and the people gave a grand sum of $4,436,000,000. What they gave in their time, if we were to kind of run it up to what it would be worth today, if these amounts were given today, that's how much money it would be. Now, can you imagine that? And they gave willingly. David realized something. He blesses the Lord in verse number 10. And then verse 11, he says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. David realized that the power that we have to get wealth, that everything that we have, David realized that everything that he had came from God. And everything that you have has come from God. You say, I'm a hard worker. I'm a self-made man. I've worked hard. Yes, you probably are a hard worker, and you have worked hard, but you're not a self-made man because God gave you that ability to work hard. He gave you the intellect to be able to think. He gave you the drive and the desire and the ability to hold on to your money and not waste it and spend it. Everything that you have, God has allowed you to have it. And if He took His foot off the gas just for a second, you could lose everything you had or the capacity to bring anything else into your economy. And David realized that. And I know that everything I have, you know, when my wife and I got married, we didn't have anything. And by God's grace, we've kept most of it. Everything that we have, God has given us. David realized that. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. He said, both riches and honor come of thee. James said, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But I love this part. So David, he says, verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength. Now therefore, our God, verse 13, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But I want you to look at the question that he asked in verse number 14. He says, but who am I, and what is my people, that thou should be able to offer so willingly, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own we have given thee. David says, well, who am I that I could do this? You know, David never forgot something. He never forgot where he came from. He never forgot where he came from. See, David realized something, and he remembered something, that day when they were coming to look for a king, and they sent word to his dad, hey, one of your sons, I'm coming to anoint one of your sons king. That day when he came, there was nobody on the plantation or the farm or the whatever you want to call it. There was nobody there that thought David was king material, not even his own father, and not his brothers. When he went out there, nobody ever thought David had what it took. In fact, he was out there keeping the sheep. And the sons passed before. Surely this is him, but it wasn't. Surely the Lord's anointed is before me, but it wasn't. And David, do you have any more sons? Yeah, we just got one. I mean, this little David out there keeping the sheep, we'll get him and bring him. And he was the one. David realized, were it not for God, he'd have still been out there keeping the sheep. Yeah. And now he's able to give millions of dollars. Because why? Because God had elevated him and promoted him and blessed him. And everything that he had. Any talent or ability that I possess, I'm going to do my best to use it for God's glory, because He gave it to me for that purpose. And He can take it away. And David said, really, we're not giving anything to you, Lord. He said this, and of thine own have we given thee. What we're really doing is just giving back to you what's already yours. I told you, I shared, I've got three grandchildren. Nobody drank out of this cup over here on this side, did they? I'm going to defile both of these tonight. I came back home one day from work, from the office, from the ministry. Came back in, they called me Pop. Call my wife Honey. And I'm Poppy. They said, Poppy, we made you something. Now, you ever have a little kid make you something? Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your grandchildren. I remember coming there sometimes, and this happened more than once. And the little Wren, she was about 3 or 2 or whatever. She's 4 now, and she's the girl. She's in the middle. And she said, "Poppy, I made you something." She's like, "Do you know what it is?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, it looks like a pyramid." She said, "No, Poppy, it's a camel." I said, "Well, okay, yeah." And then she'll draw something else, and she's asking me, "What? Do you know what this is?" And I'm trying to look back to see if somebody could help me, tell me what it is, because I want to say, you know, what it really is to make her feel good about it. But I can't tell from her, you know, rendition of the camel or the lamb or whatever it was that that's what the thing was. But what was she wanting to do? She was wanting to do something special for me. And I came in one time, and they had all three of them, even Little Bear, that had just put some stuff on there, and Wren drew a picture, and Atlas drew a picture, and they gave it to me. But here's the thing about it. It was special to me, but here's the thing about it. I came in, they were in my house, they sat at my kitchen counter, they used my paper and my crayons, and they used everything that was mine, and they gave it to me like it was something. But they took that paper and those crayons, and it really didn't mean anything to me, but they put their little hand on it, and they gave it back to me. Really, they were just giving back what was already mine. But it was different, because they took it, and they did the best with it that they could do. And so I took that thing, and you know what I did with it? Get those magnets and put it over there over the refrigerator, because it's a prized possession. And I can imagine, I've done some things with my life, and people up in heaven would say, "I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure what he did with that." Peter would say, "Man, that don't look like anything to me." I can imagine him bouncy like he is. But yet, you know, we did the best with what we had to work with. And maybe sometimes we got out of the lines a little bit, but we took the materials that God gave us, the gifts and talents and abilities that God gave us, and we didn't do it perfect. We didn't do it right like we wish we would have, but we did the best that we could, and by the grace of God, we're going to continue to do the best that we could, but God still takes that thing, and he puts it on the refrigerator in heaven. Put their little